This is Joe Basso from Music Radar, the place for music makers, and I'm speaking with Tom Morello, the Night Watchman and guitarist with Rage Against the Machine, and he's been a guitarist with Audio Slave, and he's been an actor in Star Trek, and am I leaving anything out?
One or two things, but that's enough to start with for sure.
Okay. So the new record, The Fabled City, is quite a statement. Great record, Tom.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks.
How was writing this new Night Watchman record differing from the first? Because obviously there's so much more instrumentation on this.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the writing for The Fabled City incorporated two things. One was I wanted to really capture the excitement and the energy of the live shows from the One Man Revolution tour, which felt like, even though they were performed for the most part only with acoustic guitar, became pretty raucous affairs. Then as I was doing a residency at the Hotel Cafe here in Los Angeles, as well as playing on the Justice Tour with other musicians, I really felt like I wanted to expand the sound and felt much more comfortable incorporating some of my rock playing in, not just three chords and the truth anymore, but also having, some riffs involved, some guitar solo involved. I was really more comfortable loosening the reins. That's on the musical front. On the lyrical front, over the course of the last couple of years, experienced quite a few personal losses, from my aunt and uncle who were very, very close to me, to a number of friends, and even my dog died. It was a lot of personal and emotional carnage, which I think seeped into the lyrics, and trying to find a way through this music and the performances to find glimmers of hope and sort of reasons to push on and in this kind of continuing fight against injustice through music.
Even though the songs are very political and serious in nature, there does seem to be a more joyous tone to it than the first Night Watchman record.
Yeah, I think a lot of that really comes from the energy of the shows. When I wrote the songs for One Man Revolution, those songs were performed predominantly when I was getting my feet wet playing in coffee houses and playing anonymously. In the touring for One Man Revolution, I was playing at Bonnaroo and big European festivals, and playing in the midst of tear gas riots and playing in front of raucous the big day out crowds in Australia, and had to find a way to convert what were sometimes very quiet, moody acoustic songs, when you're playing in between Sepultura and and Dave Matthews Band, or so you can't just stand up there and strum and look at the floor. And so I really tried to incorporate that energy and excitement into the music this time around as well.
Are you going to be touring with a live band? Because there's so much more instrumentation on this.
Yeah, when I tour this time, it's going to be. I really like the model that Neil Young does for a lot of his tours, where the tour is basically going to be half acoustic and half electric. And even though on the album there's no electric guitar, I've used a lot of my electric guitar effects on the acoustic guitar, so you may not even know what exactly is playing there.
I was going to ask you about that, yes.
Yeah, yeah, and but on the tour, it's going to be 50-50 acoustic and electric, and the show, I haven't got all the details hammered out, the show will start with acoustic, and it'll continue to build. On these Justice Tour shows that I did across the country, that I felt that it was really exciting to be able to incorporate the two elements, and I've never, even in Audioslave or in Rage Against the Machine, where I play a lot of electric guitar, have never really gone for it in a way, in a pure electric guitar way that I intend to do on this tour.
Oh my, that's somewhat shocking to me.
Yeah.
When you and Brendan O'Brien sat down to make this record, what discussions did you have about the different instrumentation?
Yeah, well, the way Brendan and I work, and I love making records with him, and this is he made two Rage records, one Audio Slave record, and this is the second Night Watchman record. We have a great time in the studio, and normally what I'll do is I'll sit down and just play the guitar and play the song, play and sing the song into a couple of microphones, and then we'll get an idea of what each song demands. We don't really sit out and plot it out ahead of time. For some songs like Rise to Power, that's a one take. That's just me. That's the second time I played it. I just sat in front of the microphone, played and sang the song, and we were done. Other songs like Night Falls or Whatever It Takes seem to call for a much more fleshed out instrumentation, and that's Brendan and I are the two-man Freedom Fighter Orchestra, and you know, and he'll say, okay, I'm, you know, he'll run over to the organ and put some of that down, or he'll play the drum kit, and I'll add the mandolin or the harmonica to it. We have a great time making these records.
I was going to ask who's playing what instruments. I mean, there's mandolin.
Yeah,
it's
pretty. I'm pretty much the string section, and he's the rhythm section and keyboardist.
So he's doing the drumming on tracks.
Yeah,
like
he's doing the drumming.
Fabled
yeah.
City and.
Yep.
Now, am I hearing some steel guitar on some tracks?
There's on a couple of. Now, normally, I one of the hallmarks of Night Watchman dumb is using the nylon string guitar, because I think it's different than sort of the usual singer songwriter thing, and it's the one guitar that I write all the songs on. But there's a couple of steel strings, like maybe 12 string on Saint Isabel, and. Maybe one more of the songs as well.
The nylon string guitar, is that the Ibanez Galvador?
That's correct. That's the Ibanez.
Same guitar.
Yep, same guitar. Whatever it takes guitar.
What are you putting it through on the song Whatever It Takes?
Whatever It Takes, it's going through an octave divider, and I'm not sure it was the closest distortion pedal that we had to the octave divider in the studio, and it's run direct. It's not through an amp, and you know we plug those two things in, and it just sounded awesome. I mean, I've certainly never heard a nylon string classical guitar sound like that.
No, totally.
Pretty cool.
Very cool rock riff.
Yeah, pretty cool.
But you do a very nice sort of traditional nylon string solo on The Lights Are On.
Lights Are On.
Spider
Time. Yeah.
Beautiful,
yeah.
Beautiful solo.
Oh, thanks. I mean, that's like I said. You know, as I said, I'm going to really open it up on this coming tour. Much of my playing, one of the main differences between what I'm able to do with the, you know, the Night Watchman solo material and the tour, which was able to do much less so in my rock band, is for the most part the music for the solo sections of Rage or Audioslave is not written around the solo. It's, you know, Rage Against the Machine, I think in four albums had, you know, maybe one chord change. You know,
right.
that's how, you know, funk and because it's a rock band playing, you know, kind of hip hop music, which tends to remain on one chord. Like the emphasis is the James Brown hit on the one,
right.
and the one repeats itself rather than going through some exotic chord progression. That challenged me to come up with interesting sounds to make up for the fact that there was not that kind of harmonic interplay that was what makes solos sound interesting generally. With this, there's no such restrictions. And so, like the song you're talking about, Lights Are On Spider Town, I was really influenced by guys like Al Di Meola and you know, and David Gilmour, you know, who used the acoustic guitar in really effective and melodic ways.
And Nick Bocott from Grim Reaper.
Of course, yes. Yes, Nick is a fine guitar player.
I'm always going to tease you about that, since you told me you practiced 8 hours a day to Grim Reaper riffs.
Yeah, well, not all 8 hours were to Grim Reaper, but certainly Grim Reaper was one of the selections that used to drive my college roommates out of their ever-loving minds.
The track Saint Isabel, the harmonica, the beat, the whole feel, I mean, this could be a Bruce Springsteen track.
Yeah, it's like a... You know, it comes from the tradition of those, you know, those Irish rebel songs. And I'm actually named after my Thomas Fitzgerald, my great Irish Catholic IRA Republican grandfather. And so that's a music that I've discovered kind of later in life, but it's really pretty fantastic. And, that, you know, that's a song about my dear departed Aunt Isabel. She was a huge, huge part of my life. And, you know, she recently passed away.
Yeah.
And she was... you know, she suffered from a lot of health issues, both physical and mental, through her life, and was really an angel of a person. And whenever I was on tour in different parts of the world, I would, you know, call her from exotic locations or send postcards of wherever I was, because she was, you know, unable to really travel anywhere. And so when she passed away, I was like, you know, it's one of on this One Man Revolution tour, was one of the things that I missed most was saying, you know, or sending a postcard from Australia or from Japan or wherever. So I thought that I needed to have a song that I could play, you know, in her memory in these different places now, too. So that's where that came from.
I mentioned Bruce Springsteen because the track recalls his sound. Has Bruce ever commented to you on your music?
Yeah, he actually came to a show. He was actually recording with Brendan O'Brien in Atlanta when the Night Watchman tour came through there, and he came to a show, and it was, you know, I'm a huge Springsteen fan. Like, there are very, very few peers that make me all nervous and excited. Bruce is definitely at the top of the list, and you know, I had seen him play many times, and but to have to know that like the boss is out in the audience while you're singing your song was something else. But he was very he couldn't have been sweeter about it. And then you know recently he and I played together in Anaheim and did a version of Ghost of Tom Joad, which
oh my,
which he recently released as a which is actually one of the highlights of I wouldn't even say one of the highlights of my career, one of the highlights of my life was I played two shows with him. The song during two shows with him in Anaheim, and he released the recording and the video as part of a benefit CD for the Danny Federici Melanoma Foundation,
oh, okay.
Which Danny, of course, is his longtime
yep.
keyboard player who passed away. And it's you know it's really one of it was a pretty exciting night.
I can imagine.
That's because I you know we ran each other a few days before. In the studio, and he's like, "Yeah, you got to come up, Tommy. You got to come up on stage and you know, and rock with us sometime." And I called him up a few days later and said, "Oh, you're playing in Anaheim tomorrow. How about that?" And I suggested we do "Ghost of Tom Joad," which Rage Against the Machine had covered in the you know in the past. And,
right.
And he said, "Sure." And he wasn't sure whether we were going to do it acoustic or electric. So of course, you know, I spent the next 24 hours, you know, without a moment's sleep, practicing every possible variation of the song. And he came up with a pretty amazing electric arrangement and plugged me into it. And I didn't know whether I was ever going to be playing with Bruce Springsteen on stage again, so I pulled out all the stops.